On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Live and local each and every Saturday morning, I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. I got a text from somebody. Hey, John, did you know today is the last day of Banned Books Week? And this is promoted by the American Library Association, and I'm glad you reminded me about this. It's a great thing to bring up because locally, I don't know if you saw this or not, the Washoe County Library System put up a display. This was at my personal favorite library, by the way, the Spanish Springs Library, to promote Banned Books Week, calling it a, quote, national celebration of the freedom to read. And here is the American Library Association's list of the, quote, most banned and challenged books from 2010 to 2019. There's To Kill a Mockingbird, Of Mice and Men, 1984, The Handmaid's Tale, and The Hunger Games. You can, but you can buy these books anywhere. I mean, they're top sellers. They're not quite pariah texts. In zero cases since the advent of Banned Books Week, has a local or state ordinance been passed in this country that forbids the sale or possession of any of these so-called banned books. What the American Library Association and the Washoe County Library mean when they imply a book has been banned is that having been purchased with public funds, a book has been challenged. Washoe County Library says that since 2014, they haven't banned any books. They've had two books challenged. That's two in 9 years. And a challenge can just be a single critical remark by a visitor or a parent. No books have been banned at Washoe Libraries. A challenge or critical comment is really an absurd example of a ban. Even if there was a ban, which there wasn't, these books would, of course, remain available in any bookstore or online. So the Washoe County Library, we have trumpeting a cause that hasn't even affected them or us. When you look into what they're really referring to on banned books, the only examples are books in grade school libraries. Should a controversial or a sexual book be banned in a public library? No, I don't think so. But in a K through 8th grade school library, I would say yes, and I think most parents would say yes. Asking to exclude or ban certain age-appropriate books in grade school libraries is not fascism. There have always been rules and limits preventing obscene books in grade school libraries. That hasn't changed, and who would be against that? And if the parents are dead set wanting to expose their child to a book deemed inappropriate at the school library, they can get it for them. They can get that book for them anywhere, really. No books have been banned at the Washoe County Library System. None. So I don't understand why they put up this display at Spanish Springs Library that I saw. And somebody told me they have pretty much the same thing at their downtown branch. Why put up a display that reads, "All books here are free to check out. We want you to read freely. What books are your neighbors hiding from you?" Oh, really? That's what the sign said. There are none. And frankly, Washoe Libraries, this shows a lack of education or honesty or both. Here's another one on their press release. Visit WashoeCountyLibrary.us for library locations and hours and for online access to downloadable copies of frequently challenged titles. Frequently challenged? There were two in 9 years. But there were worse cases. Some libraries went overboard. The Chicago Public Library System declared itself a book sanctuary where, I'm not making this up, where no book is banned. Oh my gosh, thank you. And what books are you talking about? And my immediate thought upon hearing about a fight over what books a school library carries is, well, wait, kids get books from their school library still? Yeah, the vast majority of, it's a shock to me because the vast majority of school resources for research papers or whatever is online, right? Assigned books are made available otherwise, but banned books week has been greatly exaggerated. What we call in the news business a lot of hype and fake outrage. Much ado about not much. I felt this way years ago when our local library system looked like it was going woke. Lots of James Carville and Bill Clinton and Elizabeth Warren books, and hard to find the Trump and O'Reilly and Mark Levin books. And then there's the hosting of the drag queen story times for kids at the library. And that's a thing. And society, increasingly, every part of society wants to take a stand one way or the other. And that leaves ever fewer people standing in the middle. And it leaves every fewer parts of our society that are truly open and welcoming to all. As one philosophical position insinuates itself into more and more of our society, it creates discord, right? Or for other philosophical positions. And it's interesting that we are so focused on tolerance and inclusivity that we're kind of blind to the fact that we are increasingly intolerant and exclusive when it comes to other folks in society who don't share our political particular views. And of course, freedom of expression and freedom of the facility and all that other stuff. But the library, at the end of the day, is a recreational facility that markets itself to their visitors. And when you market yourself to an ever narrower audience, aiming to please one view over the other, you're kind of closing the door to other people who want to feel welcome. I know it's just books and drag queens for children, but I sort of long for the day when the taxpayer-subsidized library would not feel the need so consistently to be making social and political statements, even when they have no reason to, since banned books have not been an issue here. There, for decades, no banned books, so why make a statement with a display right there on the floor, right? I long for the day when the people making running shoes and athletic shirts or beer would not feel it necessary to wrap themselves in a political flag. I think that when you're a nonprofit, too, and you provide a public accommodation and you make choices that drive away some potential customers, are you truly being a public service or are you being focused on your political agenda or viewpoint? I think cars should be cars and shoes should be shoes and beers should just be beers. I think that the more we can open our arms to everybody without, putting that political view on it, the better we are. Libraries should just be libraries, seeking and serving every customer there is. You are the library system in Washoe County, which does have a taxpayer subsidy, and you are libraries. You are well respected and otherwise well liked. And I mean that as a compliment. People embrace and utilize you, and I congratulate you on that. Keep giving us experiences where we all feel welcome and not experiences where we're reminded that there is a difference between us. And I think those experiences where we all feel welcome will allow us to be what we truly are, neighbors and friends, when we promote things that invite everybody. not, you know, people into drag queen story time. I mean, everybody. There are a whole lot of different types of people in Nevada, and thank God for that, right? But when you're a public service, you should want them all and respect them all. I don't think we should hide away what we believe, but when persistently and chronically the objective is to virtue signal, well, we get enough of that already, right? Anyway, by all means, support your local library. I go there all the time. The library is for us, and it should be for all of us. Wasn't I going to talk about cars and trucks? Sorry about that. Look at the time. Oh, my goodness. I really talk that much. I guess my wife was right. Okay, I'm back in a few minutes. It's open topic. You want to talk about that, but we do have a call-in topic up next. But it's open topic always, 884-9910. We'll be back in a few minutes. 99.1 Talk in Smith and Mesa Valley, 92.3 FM News Talk. Time is 11:17.
Is FM Talk.
There is. Hi, folks. Saturday morning it is, and it's live and local. I'm John Potter, 9 to noon, each and every Saturday at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Phone number 884-9910. Sure would like to hear from you. Gas prices have gone up again. Let me check the data here, NevadaGasPrices.com, which is affiliated with Gas Buddy, and they have all the numbers of all the gas stations here.
I can tell you without reservation that at Panther and North Virginia Street in Reno, it's $5.23 a gallon. And approaching in Carson City, it is $4.71 a gallon off Highway 50.
Well, I saw, what was it, $5.69 at a Chevron in Reno.
Oh, yes.
This,
I know the one you're talking about.
This is for regular unleaded, not the premium or diesel or something. $5.69 I spotted in Reno. Of course, you'll find it cheaper in other places. But if you look statewide, we have gone from, let me see, a month ago in Nevada, the average price of that regular gas was $4.57. And today, it's $4.96. And of course, when they do the statewide Nevada average, you always say, oh my gosh, that's nothing like what we have in Reno. Everything I've seen is over $5 a gallon in Reno. Obviously, in some of these rural towns in southern Nevada, it's a lot cheaper than it is. It's always been that way. Reno is one of the most expensive places next to Tahoe, I think, to buy gas, but it has gone up in a month, and right now the average statewide $4.96. I have a truck. It takes diesel, and this is one of those times when diesel now costs more than regular. It goes back and forth for whatever reason. So the diesel everywhere is $5.25 that I've seen to put gas in the vehicle, and I think sometimes maybe, especially lately, opposed to driving a truck like I do now, I ought to drive a small commuter car that would be easier on the gas. I think a lot of people in northern Nevada are thinking this, and it would save us, I figured it out, about 50% in gas each week. Not only getting more mileage, but going from diesel and not having to buy that god-awful DEF all the time. Stuff I never knew about diesel until now. Anyway, it would save me a lot. My truck is, well, I guess now you'd call it old, a 2010 GMC Canyon. It's not that I use the truck bed, and a lot of people with pickups don't. My argument has always been I should have some kind of heavier vehicle with a little more metal around me than less, and four-wheel drive to get around in winter. It's handier. It fits that. It fits my manly image to have that pickup truck. More power means more fun, too, to be honest with you. And I think trucks are really the new SUV these days. What do you recommend I get, Phil?
I would think you should get yourself into a Chevy Tahoe or Yukon. If you get into a full-size SUV, it's not a car, and it's not as inexpensive as a car. However, it is not as expensive as a truck, and it's a little bit of both. You get some economy, but you still get some power and cargo capacity. Because I can tell you from personal experience, I went from a full-size F-350 dually one-ton truck down to a 2001 Kia Rio, and it wasn't more than 3 or 4 days until I wished I had my truck back.
I see.
I mean, the Kia was a great little car. Oh, my God. Great, wonderful little car. It had a 1.4-liter engine. It was a lawnmower engine with the delusions of grandeur under that hood. But I got great gas mileage, but I couldn't haul more than a shoebox in that little thing.
Well, somebody posted this on the Reno Reddit this week, and the question they tossed out was, why are there so many pickup trucks in Reno? I just moved here recently. One thing I noticed is that there is a way higher percentage of pickup trucks here than most cities I have spent a lot of time in. And what is strange is 99.9% of the time is that A, there's no payload in the back or trailer being towed, and B, the truck is spotless clean, so it appears most are being used as daily city drivers, I'm guessing, as opposed to being a construction site or farm vehicle or something. I'm curious how much of a cultural versus practical thing it is around here.
It's practical when you need it. It's not practical when you don't. At home, I have two vehicles. I've got my Chevy Tahoe, and I've got a full-size Chevy Silverado four-wheel drive 2500 HD. It has a driveline the size of a grapefruit. It is huge and powerful. I don't need it every day, but when I want it, I've got it. It's four-wheel drive. I live up in the North Valleys where it starts to snow first in this area, and I have to get to work to do my traffic thing. When the traffic's at its worst, that's when I'm needed the most, and that's why I have a four-wheel drive so I can plow my way to work.
Well, we have a lot of Californians here, and the way this Reddit question is posed, I can't tell if he's being snarky or judgmental there. I guess I expect that because this is Reddit that we're talking or reading from here.
Well, but, I have to say, if I may, I moved to Reno 29 years ago. I came from California, I admit it. Mm-hmm. And when I came, I noticed the same thing. A lot more pickup trucks than I came from Chico, California. And there were a lot more pickup trucks here per quota, per, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I guess I've been here so long that I just don't notice the difference that much. But apparently, according to this guy, they're all over the place. He does make a good point about how it looks like people don't use the truck bed for anything, because I was at Lowe's getting, we were loading up some lumber at Lowe's, and the guy at Lowe's told me that a lot of people with pickup trucks don't want stuff put in their truck bed because it would scratch the paint.
But that's why you bought the darn thing.
They never use the truck bed. But anyway, let's take calls on this. If you do have a response, 884-9910. For me, I want to do truck things sometimes, but I only want to pay for one vehicle, so I use the truck for everything. But there are some who buy trucks for vanity purposes, I would imagine, maybe contractor cosplayers. Are they emotional support vehicles? But reading the comments on this Reddit, this guy moved here from, he moved here from Seattle, and he says there are far fewer pickup trucks there, and parking spaces are smaller in Seattle because of it. Liberals drive Subarus. They don't drive pickup trucks, apparently. But I love my truck. It's just the cost of the diesel. I'm not a big fan of the navigation system in it anyways. It lags a bit. It tells me too late when I need to do something. It's almost like, ding, your exit is back there. All right, that's an exaggeration. It's more like, ding, in 2/10 of a mile, make a U-turn. And these navigation systems, they tend to tell you things that you don't need to know. Like my wife and I were going to a dinner party up Mount Rose Highway on Thursday night, and we're trying to have a conversation, and it was an awful lot of, ding, continue on this route. Yeah, good call. Ding, Take exit 24 in 5 miles. Would you shut up? See, the truck has also OnStar installed, being a GM vehicle, but I canceled the subscription to OnStar this year because you may have seen the commercial where the driver breaks down and the OnStar operator already knows it and says, "Mrs. Klein, OnStar here. Are you having car problems?" She's having a conversation with OnStar in her car. It can listen to you. And I was a little concerned that I would get, "Hey, John, OnStar here. Did we just hear you're having marital problems?" Which I'm not, by the way, but I would be like, "I don't know. Did you? Were you just listening to my friend and I talk right now? Can you see me?" Let's take some quick calls here. Starting with Gene, 884-9910. Hey, Gene, I'm glad you called. Welcome to 99.1 FM Talk. Hey,
Mr. Potter, the train spotter. Hey, I'm just feeling a little flimsy. I just want to, lament on the gas prices, especially there in Reno, and I just wanted to say that we mustn't forget that I think it was 3 election cycles ago, so I don't think it was 2020. It might have been 2018. Reno was duped into a big tax increase for the RTC.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, we are. Hey, folks, we voted for it. You're right. And now, and since that vote, yep, at the time after it was implemented, Washoe County had the highest tax on gas in the country. I think another liberal place had a higher one later. But I remember that was a big thing. We had the highest gas tax in the country because of this, the RTC thing, and people voted for it, and the construction companies really pushed it because they were going to get a lot of road work business out of it.
Yeah, there's a correlation between an infiltration of people from California, and suddenly, they seem to be really infatuated with this escalating taxes. And when you go to California, obviously, you see gas almost $9 a gallon now. You see south of us in Mono County, gas is over $7 a gallon for diesel and stuff like that. But I think one of the things about these gas tax increases that people really get duped, and they're inherently stupid, is what they do is they allow for... They allow for a really over-the-top road maintenance. So California has the highest gas taxes in the country, highest gas. But when you watch what Caltrans does, about 90% of what they do now is completely unnecessary reconstruction and fixing things that aren't even broken, that simply need upgrades and repairs to, and not complete rebuilding. And that's what we're seeing when I travel in California. And that's what I see with the RTC. They seem to have some inherent thought that there's some sense of entitlement, that they're entitled to these taxes.
You're kidding. California?
No, I think they... No, the RTC.
RTC.
In Nevada.
Oh, yes.
RTC.
Yes. Well, pretty much the same here.
Yeah, but when you see what they do, when you see the designer, the over-the-top designer roundabouts that they put in and everything else, you just want... how much of this... stuff is really necessary,
Thanks, Gene. Good points, my friend. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Hey, Mike, here you are on the air. Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, John, how you doing, sir? Love your show. I just wanted to make a comment to everybody. You do need four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive here in the snow because I'm from Southern California and Southern Nevada, and when I moved here 5 years ago in northern Reno here, snow country, I call it Marlboro country. Anyway, I've seen the front-wheel drives. I'm a landscaper. I'm all over town, and I've seen front-wheel drives just not going nowhere. So you do need a four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive for any perspective of car buyers to the men or women to get a four-wheel drive truck or car or anything like that. Not front wheel drive because they'd spin. Mm-hmm. You talk about spinning your wheels.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, well, I love the recipe 2 weeks ago about the macaroni and cheese. I got it down. And the gentleman that called earlier this morning about the slice of cheddar cheese on top of apple pie. Mmm, good. Anyway, love your show.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Yes, yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, what was I going to say about what he said? Oh, I had so many things in my mind. Well, bear with me. We're going to break for Fox News because of, again, the tragic events in the Middle East. Get an update on that. We'll be right back on this topic, 884-9910. Your solution for saving on these higher gas prices, and what vehicle do you think is best, and why do we have so many pickup trucks, as this guy in Reddit is asking. 884-9910. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1134.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Hey, friends, John Potter, 884-9910, live and local each and every Saturday morning. Somehow got on the topic of trucks versus cars, and how do you save on gas with the prices up again over the past month? Somebody on Reddit asking, how come there are so many pickup trucks here? Well, Reno is an island of population in one of the most rural states in the country. Of course, there are going to be people in northern Nevada that drive a lot of trucks. We're not Paris, you know. Winter is probably all the reason you need. And if you live in an HOA community, it could be days before your streets are plowed. Many times a year, you'll be late for work, and plus 20 minutes out of the city in all directions is rural. So there. But there are some negatives, and I got to bring this up because I looked. The cost of these new full-size pickups, over, what, $75,000?
And like they're half-empty box.
It's like a down payment for a house. And the insides are like luxury cars now. Is it just me? The trucks are getting shorter with shorter beds in order to make more room in the luxury cab. And you notice the change in the TV ads. When I was a kid, they'd show the pickup truck doing things like pulling farm equipment or pushing snow. And now these new trucks, the ads are all about comfort. When I first got mine, I did get a lot of requests to help people move. As a matter of fact, I knew a guy who sold his truck because he kept getting asked for favors. And he also has a two-wheel drive truck as opposed to a four-wheel drive. And he said, never again. Do they still make two-wheel drive trucks? And if so, what's the point? And something Dad would always say. Dad would say, anybody can buy a truck. It takes a real man to keep an old one running. Okay, so about gas prices, I didn't get the text that the station is getting. One of those things I got to figure out, but who texted us?
We have a text from John who says, if you vote in Trump and vote out the Democrats, our gas prices will drop precipitously.
Yes, you're right. Yes, that's true. That's true. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I'd like to remind the listeners, if I could, that you can not only call at 884-9910, and I see our call. I'll get to this one in just a moment. You can also text. If you're busy at work and you don't have time to call, you can always just fire off a text to 884-9910.
Well said, Phil. I appreciate that. Let me see. Let me think of some good news. Well, football's been exciting this season, right? Oh my gosh, it's been fun to watch football. Really exciting football season so far, don't you think? And not just for Taylor Swift. She's been dating that Kansas City Chiefs player, Travis Kelce, until that ends, and she writes a song about him. I think Taylor is going to eventually, Taylor's going to eventually date everyone. Until the only celebrity left, I think, is Pete Davidson. You just wait for it. And really, for all the young female singers and actresses in Hollywood, all roads do lead to Pete Davidson. And I don't really care that much about famous people, you know, but I am happy that Taylor Swift is happy, you know? I mean, I hope the guy is happy too, and I hope they live happily ever after. Here's the thing. In the Bible, there's this one place in there that says rejoice with those who rejoice. And I always thought that was about being a good sport, right?
Oh, well, if you're happy, I'm happy too.
You know what I'm saying? Like the first time you get invited to a gay wedding, and if you're not like, you know, if you're like not with the, you know, LGBT, LMNO, whatever the heck that flag is, and you say, okay, well, what do I think about this and the other? And you go, well, I really like this person, and what the hell? They'd come to my wedding, so okay, I'll be a good sport, and I'll rejoice for those who rejoice. So somehow Taylor Swift reminded me of the Bible. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. More calls, the better. David, calling, are you really calling from South Lake Tahoe? David, I appreciate the call.
Yes. I need your help, if you can help me.
Yes.
I saw a commercial. It had for a store in Reno, and you know Reno so well. And it was like men's clothes, more like construction kind of clothes. Pretty big store. And it had a big R on it, on the storefront. And I can't seem to find it on the internet. Are you familiar with that store?
Boy, I am all about, and I was about to suggest, Tractor Supply. I'm a Mr. Tractor. I love Tractor Supply. And for what you're talking about, the Carhartt clothes, those are the ones that the Buy It For Life people say, oh, my gosh.
There is a Carhartt there by Target on South Virginia Street in Reno.
That really? A Carhartt store? It's a brand of clothing.
There is a uniform store down there. I believe it's called Carhartt, yes.
Oh, well, I recommend Tractor Supply. I'm crazy about Tractor Supply. I don't know why. I think it's to my wife who loves TJ Maxx. My thing is Tractor Supply.
I'm looking for is flannel lined work pants. That's what I'm looking for. They're hard to find.
Boy, we're a shopping concierge now, Phil.
Hey, why not? you
have any? Anyway,
no,
that's good.
You know who might know?
Tractor.
You know who else will know this? Our listeners. If you know where that store is, give us a call. Why not?
Yes, the Brain Trust will call in. David,
yeah,
I appreciate
the big R on the store.
I think I've seen it. I've never gone in it. It is best I can tell you. Carhartt's a good brand, though.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you, David. We're going to break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes for final segment. Phone line's always open. Open topic, 884-9910. And I have been just all over the place this morning. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:47.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Taking calls in the order they come in. I'm John Potter, and let's go to Paul. Paul, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called. Welcome to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Thank you. The guy asked about work clothing. You got Work World right there on Virginia Street, right in front of that Home Depot. And I don't know what side street. Maybe Neil. I don't know. But then you got the big R up there in Sparks, I guess. And you got Tractor Supply and with Cal Ranch. But most of their clothes, if you look where the clothes is made, it's all from China. And
yeah,
we all talk about we don't want to support China, but I think Work World is a good supplier of American-made work clothing. And as far as boots go, I would say I'd direct people to go to Red Wing boot stores.
You know, you're like me. I shop for Buy It For Life products. When it comes to a washer or dryer, has to be a KitchenAid. or possibly Frigidaire for a refrigerator, for TVs. I stick to Sony or LG. I buy on reputation and how well things are made. And I ask people.
Yeah.
Now, the sad thing is, like you said, these companies that are so wonderful get sold to China. I know somebody who loved Land's End, but once China bought it, it was nowhere near the same product.
Yeah.
And are you the guy who says Carhartt sucks, or is that the next caller?
That's the next caller.
Okay. Well, that's
yeah,
Paul.
No,
I appreciate.
No, okay, I was just going to say that Wrangler makes a line of workwear called Riggs, and okay. I've been using Riggs for the last 20 years after I got out of the Marine Corps, and I stick with Danner boots.
Okay, cool. I hear Wrangler's still pretty good too for jeans. All right, caller who says Carhartt sucks. Welcome, sir, to the show.
Hey, John. Good to hear you. I love your show in the morning.
Thank you, sir.
So my beef with Carhartt is they have great product. Problem is, during the pandemic, they came out and said, get the jab or get out. I think it was before the mandate.
One
of those companies, you know, and I thought, okay, I'm done with them. And I have a lot of friends that are done with them.
Yeah. There's a handful of companies that said the same thing, that I had the same reaction you did. I'm just not going to go because.
Yeah. They came out so quick with it. I mean, they didn't even, you know.
They did.
Yeah.
And they closed schools. I don't want to get into this whole pandemic thing, but it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was really a threat. It was really a threat to the obese and the senior citizens. Didn't kill any kids that I know of. I mean, especially in our area and such. And to close schools.
Yeah.
And what happened? Oh. The suicide rate went way up.
I know. They don't
drug addiction. All addictions went way up because it was such a rough time that the government put us through, closing things and killing small business. Okay, I'll stop. Let's go to Matt at 884-9910. Matt, I'm glad you called. Welcome to 99.1 FM Talk.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. I was just going to say the same thing as Big R, maybe the place he's looking for, but it's the landscaping and snow removal up at the lake as well in South Lake. And I also like to use Duluth. They have really good...
Duluth Trading Company. Yes.
Yeah. And they have a great return policy, and they honor all their stuff. If you ever get a hole in it or something like that within a year, you just send it back and they replace it. So
one of those great companies, one of those great companies that you send it to them no matter how old it is or how broken it is. You know, I once bought a Colt pistol, and Colt always had that policy that no matter what shape this Colt pistol is in, you send it back and they are going to refurbish it or send you a new one. And I sent a Colt pistol about 10 years ago, and they sent it back to me and didn't do a thing with it. I guess that policy is gone, Phil.
All right. Zippo has that policy still.
Zippo lighters, really?
Yep. A few years ago, I sent three of them back, and within a couple of weeks, two came back fixed, and one was just flat replaced. This is back when I was a smoker.
Oh, okay. Well, interesting. Well, it's great hearing about all the clothes I'm going to shop for now. That's one benefit.
We also had another gal call. Yeah. She said a good place to go is Cal Ranch by Reed High School.
Okay. Cal Ranch. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it. I'm Mr. Tractor Supply, but I will try it. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it. And thanks for doing the job you did today. I'm going to end with the Bible sentence that I brought up earlier. Rejoice with those who rejoice. When someone else is happy and you sit there like a rock, I mean, you're kind of a wet blanket and you're being a jerk. But here's another thing about it. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, it allows you to borrow a little bit of their happiness, right? And maybe you've been a good sport, but maybe you've gotten a lift yourself. And here's what got me thinking about this. I met a chess fanatic at the last Wolfpack game. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about that game or the Wolfpack the way it is this season. But this guy sitting next to us teaches chess to students as part of some club at UNR. And me in chess is never, it's never happened and never will. I say that checkers is the thinking man's chess. All that horse and bishop stuff, making funny moves, I just don't get. I know people who play chess. I'm not one of them. So this guy talks to me about chess and these competitions for this small group of students. And this chess coach, who admitted he's not a football fan, came out to watch the Wolfpack because a couple of his chess players are out there playing football. He's like, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to cheer, and it's going to be fun. So this man's joy at chess and watching his students playing that game that they love so much and watching his joy, I was a better and happier person. I was basking in the glow of his joy. Rejoicing with those who rejoice was not about me being a good sport for them. It was about their joy to lift me. So when people are excited about something, I try to feel that same excitement, and I highly recommend it. You'll be encouraging them, and you just might be bettering yourself. It's an amazing thing about, I guess, old age. Suddenly I got smart at age, I think, 67. I mean, I want to do everything over again. But it's a wonderful experience. And this is why some people say this time of life is the best time of life there is. Folks, friends, thank you for listening. I will join you again next Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. You have yourself a good rest of the weekend. So long.